is to sort of eyeball it.
Okay.
And how about the 320-acre test?
Yeah, see if it'll meet the 320 acres, yeah.
I think it would.
And a thousand.
And a thousand.
1,000 acre test. 2,500.
Okay,
Mr. Chairman, do I understand you to say, as you understand the present amendments to the bill, or as it reads?
Well, as it is written right now, and we haven't gone through work session, we haven't changed or done anything, we're currently working off of this document, but as the bill is written, it says, locate an area of not less than 100 acres, of which at least 50% is composed of contiguous ownerships that are 20 acres or less in size. And it looks like you have, but they can look at it and we'll tell you when we're
here. What is that here?
Are you saying that, in other words, 2.5 acres is
less than 20.
What it was zoned before the county got around to rezoning it?
Well,
after the hearing, they rezoned it to 20 acre minimum wooden lot resource. And are you saying that I could go back and, under the present measure you're considering?
I don't know. I'm having him look at the map.
Okay.
But I'm just trying to see if it would fit into marginal lands definition. If that
I
would
have a suggestion here, and it may make you smile, and I know it would attorney, but it's nice and short. Notwithstanding the limitations contained herein, marginal and unprofitable agricultural and forest land shall be approved and permitted for residential subdivisions by respective county governing boards. I have a copy. I can give you a copy.
Sure.
If you
okay.
That, I feel the reason I want to come up here because I definitely feel that we've been done wrong, and a lot of other people have too, down in the county. I mean, there's just complaint after complaint, but we've done it. We've done it. It's cost us a lot of money. Tried to save some money. My son made the presentation over here to Luba, but I don't know. I trust that the legislature will, your committee, will find some way to take care of our problem. Because what I want, to be able to go back to the proper governing body and say, I want to put in a subdivision in this area. There's a need for it. The land is rocky, very rocky. I've dug ditches through there for the pipelines and dug down 15 feet. It's rock, stones all the way. And it's absolutely impossible, or unpractical, I should say, to try to grow anything worthwhile. The homeowners grow in soil, topsoil, to build a lawn.
Okay, Representative Trahan.
Madam Chair, I'm very familiar with the property in the area. And yes, it would meet the qualifications under sub 1. C-sub-1.
My first initial glance at it without...
The area is pretty well built up. It's a rural community that is not incorporated. But certainly there are a lot of smaller than 20-acre parcels scattered around. And Mr. Pierce has pretty accurately described what the area is. And I'm sure that there would be no question in that at least 50% of it is 20 acres or less in size parcels and... I think we'd need that qualification.
Madam Chair?
Yes, Representative Parkinson and then Representative Anderson.
Say, is this bill passing and present zoning, would that the property be able to be broken into half-acre plots?
Which size?
I'm asking, I don't know.
I know you're asking.
Yes.
Well,
that is it.
May I comment?
No, I want to answer his question. If you will read down, I mean, when you brought up whether you can have subdivisions on it, you've got under this marginal lands language, on line 17, Representative Parkinson, you've got one single family dwelling on a larger parcel containing 20 or more acres. One single family dwelling on a large parcel described in subsection 4, which is subsection 4.
You can have two lots then.
That's a lot of record. Subsection 4 is a lot of record provision.
Okay, you're right. Yes, Mr. Pierce. Oh, wait, I had a question from Representative Anderson. Excuse me.
I'm trying to find it in the bill, but I think this is enabling legislation, and it's up to the county governing people. Now, if the county governing body down there was stubborn and didn't want to honor the enabling legislation, then we're going to fool somebody. I think that's correct to what I got to say. So even though we pass it in this form, I guess what you're telling me is, and what I sort of agree with, it shouldn't be enabling, it should be mandatory in order to solve your problem.
Madam Chair.
Representative Parkinson.
Again, though, say this bill had passed, it says it authorizes local government, what does it say here, that they can allow under this one single family dwelling on a lot of parcel containing 20 more acres or divisions. Okay, so then that would allow two. So it's not all what he's talking about.
No.
The most, if this bill passed, the best the county could do for him would be allow him to divide it into two pieces.
Well, Madam Chair,
that's the way it is now.
He could do that in present zoning, 20 acre zone, isn't it?
One home, 20 acres.
Yeah, so it, you know.
So it doesn't change it.
Did you have any other comments, Mr. Pierce?
Yes. When I set up the original subdivision in the Sunshine Village, before the county would grant it, they asked me to give a general layout of the entire, we had 100 acres at that time, and they asked us to give them a layout of what our future plans were thinking was. And we presented that to them, and they were all half-acre lots. And as I mentioned, the 30 ones, they then approved the first application for Sunshine Village, which represented 30 lots, and they're all half acres, and I mentioned that I had this system. You could not, in an area of that kind, have a lot that small, have a septic tank and a well in the same location. Therefore, we put in this community water system, and as I mentioned, it's all right. Now, I don't think that we suggest any half acre at the present time, unless a fellow had a central water system and some way to solve the sewer system possibly. But this land is ideal for a home size, just a garden slope, a beautiful layout, but the last place that any of you would ever want to try to make a living on anything, either rocks and condition of soil and so forth. But it should be permitted down to 1 acre. Why require someone to buy 2.5 acres when an acre is adequate for a home site? And it's just wasting the land. And we don't have too much land to waste. We're talking about farmland all the time, and it's time to start thinking about locations that are suitable for building sites, too. This is a growing community, and it's just a beautiful place, and I base that by virtue of my experience at other subdivisions. So,
Madam Chair?
Representative Troop and then Representative Hill.
You say it's a growing community. Have they considered the incorporation and establishing an urban growth boundary and doing some of those things? Which
well, one fellow mentioned by one being elected mayor, but that's as far as it's going.
Pardon me?
One man said he'd like to be mayor, but that's as far as I've heard. No, it is nothing serious that I know at the present time, but I wouldn't be surprised it would be.
Is it realistic to think that you can really have a growing community out there if you don't do something about trying to incorporate, maybe trying to figure out how to, on a systematic basis, provide the urban services that area would need?
I think that would be advisable, sir, and I think it will come the way things are moving. But right now, there's not much more can be done under this 20-acre minimum deal. It just puts a block in the way.
Representative Hill.
Does your county have a land use plan in place? It does? Does it zone this land as exclusive forest zone?
No. After our original hearing to the county, they came along and on zoning, and they then zoned it 20-acre woodland, 20-acre woodland lot.
But woodland it sounds like there's a considerable number of lots that are smaller than 20 acres that are built on already. Is that true? You have different sized lots in that area.
Oh, yes.
Some are bigger, some are smaller than
20 acres. Well, hundreds of them are on there. Yeah. I say hundreds, there's many, many of them. And all that I put in there are half acre. Mm-hmm. And there's others, 2.5 acres, 1 acre, and so forth. Mm-hmm. They're all different sizes, but of course, under the regulation now, it's different. I want to say this for the Jackson County Planning Commission, of course, the personnel has changed pretty much under the this new year. But they were under pressure under the Oregon law to get something out, and they just came along, and I think they just had to throw everything in the bundle and leave on it in order to keep out of jail with the state.
Representative Treher.
Madam Chair, I keep going back to page 2, C, line 4, item 1, and line 5, and 6 and 7. Let me go through that again, because I made the comment earlier that I thought this property would qualify
right.
under that particular designation. Located in an area of not less than 100 acres, of which at least 50% is composed of contiguous ownerships, that are 20 acres or less in size, comma. And I guess this is a question for staff, perhaps, if no one knows, but excluding from this calculation areas designated for urban development or rural residential use. Now, what is rural residential use in this concept? Would these parcels that are 5 or 7 or 1/2 acre that surround Mr. Pierce's property, would they be designated for rural residential use and therefore excluded from the calculation within the definition of what we're talking about? I don't know. I think we ought to find out what that language means.
Yeah, and I think maybe it would be a good idea to... Hector, do you want to... Okay. Ross, with it. You can just stay there, Mr. Pierce.
Okay,
just,
for the record.
You can sit down too. I just thought you could.
I'm going to turn out the hand to you.
Yes, we do not know at this point. This parcelization, quite likely an exception was taken on it, and therefore it would not be eligible within those calculations. But let me point out that he has indicated the quality of that land makes it fit the low quality test. It was 13 cubic feet of wood per year and class 6 soil. So I think that he makes it on the basis of the poor soil test, and his land definitely would be marginal by that test.
Madam
if
Chair.
It is not included as rural residential, then he would make it on the parcelization test by including in all that parcelized land.
Representative Treher.
Mr. Pierce, I must have missed something. Did you testify that would only that land would only produce 13 cubic feet of wood fiber per year,
right,
per acre?
Yes. I did.
Okay, I'm surprised.
And he was talking about class 6 soil, although he did get one soil test that said there was a higher soil classification than that, wasn't it, Mr. Pierce?
That's what the industry, the
right.
timber industry, say that the lowest they would go to consider any timber land would be producing not less than 50 cubic feet.
Right, but Mr. Pierce, you told us early on in your testimony that, and I forgot who looked at your soil, but there was a soil test taken, and it was classified as a higher classification of soil. When I say higher, I'm actually talking lower, like one
higher number.
No,
lower.
A
number.
Higher quality. Lower number.
That's assessor's office, soil conservation.
Madam Chairman,
assessor's office. What did the assessor's office classify that first?
Classify what?
The soil that you're talking about.
Assessor's office, I don't know about that. I know about what the soil conservation does. I didn't know that the assessor's office classifies soil.
I believe you said at the first of your testimony, maybe I missed something. I believe you said at the first of your testimony You had your soil tested and it came out one thing. Then later, when you went back and you said they wouldn't look at it, you went back with another paper that said your soil was classified as 6.
Let me clarify it. At the time of the hearing, the county hearing, there was one study made, an old one.
Yes.
And that's only, in fairness to the board, that's all they had to rely upon.
What was that old, what did it say, that old study, what did it say that soil was?
I have it here. Could I supply it to you after, before I leave? But I have a letter here from the Soil Conservation Service.
That says it's a 6.
I would like to read the 2 short paragraphs.
Okay.
Which the one that's pertinent here. The soil's very cobbly surface layer, high rock fragment content in the subsoil, adversely affects timber management and productivity. When compared to the rich gravelly silt loam soil, and that was what the county used, they had a whole blanket. But down below, across the road, there is beautiful soil, but this is starting to slope up the mountain. Rich gravelly silt loam soil, equipment limitations and plantability are much more severe. The high rock fragment contents lowers availability a water holding capacity and effective rooting area, thus lowering the productivity. The last paragraph says the same soil characteristic adversely affects the soil potential for agriculture use. The land capability class for this soil is 6.
Yeah.
Now it's B1 with a small s. Is that still 6?
Yeah.
I assume it is. Would you like to have me send you
yes.
Would you like to have this letter?
Yes, please. Thank you.
And I have one more request, and I won't take any more time. I would like to see, so there wouldn't be any argument about it, that this could go down to 1 acre minimum, when instead of starting a big argument before the county. In other words, if the conditions warrant, it can be, in other words, reduced to a subdivision of 1 acre in size, because otherwise people buy land at 2.5 acres, what it was zoned back when it originally came in, and you're just wasting 1.5 acres at least. People don't need it. You can't grow any garden out there.
Manager. Representative Trainer.
Mr. Pierce, wouldn't that be somewhat limited by the septic tank capabilities?
Well, as I mentioned, the type of soil is such that I have 30 homes, or built 30 homes there 20 years ago with septic tanks on 1/2 acre. There's been no problems.
Next.
Therefore, an acre would be adequate for that. And what we have done on one of the subdivisions later, we have drilled one well to serve two lots.
Representative Trainer.
Mr. Pierce, just a simple question, I guess, but if in fact that soil will carry a septic per 1/2 acre, why are you suggesting 1?
Well, a 1/2 acre, I feel, is under present conditions too small, is rather small.
Okay.
It's just, I can't give you a specific answer, but seemingly, I think they should have 1 acre minimum. Yeah. But I'd like to have you tie it down so there wouldn't be an argument with a Planning Commission say, well, that's too small and so forth. I'm getting tired of arguing with them. Everybody else down that way too.
One more.
Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen.
Mr. Pierce,
Representative Trainer.
One more, if I could. Looking at the immediate area, I would guess that you're thinking that 1 acre parcels would fit more into the general area than that's perhaps half,
correct,
or something less than that. Is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay.
It's just a waste of good land otherwise for homesites.
Representative Priestley.
Mr. Priestley, there's some other interesting things looking over here that haven't been shown to us. Are those yours or?
No,
those are not mine.
Somebody else, okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. I thank you very much, each one of you. I appreciate the privilege of hearing before you.
Representative Parkinson.
I would still like, I don't think my question was answered. If this bill passed, would the local government have the capacity, the capability, by ordinance to say, yes, you can have 1 acre lot? They wouldn't, would they?
I don't believe they would.
He still could only divide it into 2 pieces.
That's the reason that suggestion I put in there, and that wording I gave you, make a shell. I don't consider mace stuff is no good.
No, you're right, Representative Parkinson. Alan Bachman.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Everybody wants to know where those came from. Are those yours, Alan?
No, I appreciate your courtesy, sir.
I intend to be very short. I'm Alan Bachman from Washington County Council's office. We spoke last Friday, which I hope was sort of a pep talk on this bill, encouraging you to continue with the concepts and seek amendments to make it workable. Intend to be very brief. A couple things is, first of all, I should have left this last time, the 1982 annual report from our Washington County Extensions Service. This is the only copy I can get right now. It's a little bit of doodling on page 61 that you should ignore.
Well, there.
So I'll leave that with
if
you.
If we get that far.
Yeah. But, well, it's mainly...
If it's on page 1 or 2, you might have to go on 61.
I submitted the whole report, but it's really the end of the report where they talk about the actual gross income for the types of farming operations that should be looked at. Secondly, I'm concerned about some silent movement afoot, I guess, to change the 100-acre requirement to a 320-acre requirement or something larger than that. We certainly were encouraged by the bill and encouraged when the Senate E&E Committee changed it from 320 to 100 acres, and would certainly be in opposition to it being changed back. It's pretty hard to isolate that one issue of the income test without looking at the entire thing. And it relates to something just brought up recently. And that is, as noted in the parcelization test and the marginal lands requirement, you exclude lands that are in rural residential use for the parcelization test. But there's no exclusion of commercial farms on parcels from the parcelization test. So if you had 100 acres and you had 320-acre parcels and a 40-acre commercial farm, you could include that 40-acre commercial farm for the parcelization test. However, if you had some small parcels that were already developed and committed to a rural residential use, you would have to exclude those parcels from the parcelization test. Now, it would seem logical that you'd want your areas designated as marginal land designated close to those already developed and committed rural residential uses, where you already have the homes there, as opposed to near commercial farms, to help avoid the conflict that the marginal land area might have in the commercial farming area. So it would seem to me you might want to consider deleting the language that excludes the rural residential uses from the parcelization test, so that you would encourage the marginal land areas to be closer to the already developed and committed rural residential uses.
Except, Alan, just one question. Wouldn't you see on something like that continual, if you've got rural residential and then you get around those marginal lands, wouldn't you see that sort of a creeping sprawl as opposed to... I mean, I'd like to make sure that the marginal lands are truly marginal. Mm-hmm. And if your lot size is 20 acres, you're not really going to hurt the commercial farmer.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate concern.
I mean, that's what I see happening if you do include this sort of sprawl.
That's a legitimate concern. And unfortunately, I didn't realize this till this evening when I heard the previous testimony regarding that issue, but I think there's probably some way that can be addressed. What I'm concerned about, though, is that you are including the commercial farms in the parcelization test, and you're excluding the rural residential uses. And it just seems that you had to choose one or the other. You'd rather have it located closer to your rural residential uses than your commercial farms.
Then try to address
the sprawl issue.
I think it does make sense, except you're getting the other issue. And I think the other thing is, first of all, you have that income test.
Mm-hmm.
So that would exclude that.
No, it wouldn't. I thought it would, too, until today. That's the other reason for this. There's been apparently some differences of opinion on how the income test works. there's been one school of thought that in the 100-acre area, every parcel in the 100-acre area could not exceed that $20,000 in gross income in 3 out of 5 years. The other school of thought was that only the parcel in question couldn't exceed that. The other parcels in that 100-acre area could. So it turns out, I thought it was the former school of thought, and I was wrong. It turns out only the parcel in question in the 100-acre area has to not make that $20,000 in gross income in the 3 out of 5 years. Therefore, in my example of the 320s and the 140, the 140 could be a viable commercial farm making $60,000 in gross income a year and can be used to qualify that area for a marginal lands area. Whereas you might have 3 or 4 homes on very small parcels, and that area might not be able to qualify because you have to exclude those rural residential uses from the marginal lands calculations.
Well, Madam Chair,
it seems to me that in this bill, and I'm just going to throw this back at you, and I don't know what the committee's reaction is that in it, you bought in from Washington County an amendment that would deal with the income to make that relatively easy.
That's correct.
I think we can look at this, and you talk about soil capabilities, and you look at ag land and certain classes. You look at if that land also has to happens to have some forestry on it, or it's AF land. You can do a production capability there. Somehow or another, we either have to rewrite so it's very clear, but that area dealing with parcelization seems to just...
Yeah, I guess what I'm saying...
I think the committee's having a hard time understanding it. I think people are having a hard time interpreting that parcelization test.
Yeah.
Which is once you do the income, then you have either parcelization or soil, but we keep getting hung up on the parcelization test.
Right. Well, see, the parcelization test, as I understand it, or the soils test, is what brings into the 100-acre area issue. The income test doesn't even talk about
right.
the 100-acre
right.
area. Okay. And I guess my only point is that it would seem reasonable that in talking about the area you want to put this marginal land in, the 100-acre area, that you'd rather put it in an area where there isn't commercial farming or forestry, but rather closer looking to a developed and committed area than a commercial farm area. So in other words, I would rather exclude the commercial farms than the rural residential uses from the parcelization test.
Representative Bradbury and Representative Parkinson.
It does read that, if you take 100 acres, you could have a 40-acre parcel, I suppose, that was in, commercial farming, but that portion of the 100 acres could not be declared marginal land.
That's correct.
Because it does not meet the income test. So the other 3 parcels in your 100-acre example of 20 acres each would potentially qualify for marginal land. They can then build one house on 20 acres. So, in other words, I'm not seeing what kind of a problem that is for commercial farmers.
Well, I think the problem is, maybe not in that particular example, but it could be some 5s and 10s around that particular commercial farm that might qualify under this. But I guess what I'm getting at is you're excluding, for the 100-acre calculation, those areas in rural residential use. Okay, you're not excluding commercial farms. Therefore, of the marginal lands area that qualifies, more are going to qualify, I feel, around commercial farming areas where you have this interspersal of small parcels than where you have small parcels around already committed rural residential uses. And maybe you want to switch that around and gear what is actually going to end up qualifying for marginal land closer to those established areas than into areas that were previously just allowed for commercial farming.
Well, but I might follow up.
Yes.
I assume we're talking about areas that are zoned for rural residential use.
That's right. Now, designated rural residential.
if you use those areas that were zoned for rural residential use, you would have not urban sprawl, but rural residential sprawl, because you could just continually parcelize out from your rural residential area. You would be using the rural residential area as a way to always have 50% of your parcels in 20 acres or less, and go out into that farmland or whatever it is that's next to the rural residential area and call it marginal. I mean, it... I think that you've really... I mean, we've tried to prevent urban sprawl, and now we're moving into...
rural sprawl.
Rural sprawl.
I guess the question I'm trying to bring up is, do you want the rural sprawl or do you want the hopscotch sprawl? You know, and this might be the hopscotch sprawl where you can use the commercial farm as the basis for the marginal land area, but you can't use the rural residential use as the basis. But I'm saying, look into this further. I don't have all the answers now, and maybe I'm wrong.
Okay, I think our committee administrator should draw up a decision matrix on whether we want the